WTVQ. And we're on. Good morning, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti, and welcome to the American Dream. We are here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing the best, the brightest, and the most courageous of Orange County regarding being an entrepreneur, getting up every morning and making it happen, whether you like it or not, which is kind of the way that entrepreneurs make it, get up and go do it every day. Just a reminder, this show is actually sponsored each and every week by Miles Wealth Management here at located in Florida, New York, which I am a proud member of and have been for, I just found out the other day, almost 20 years, which I can't believe I did anything for 20 years. But I have, and I'm enjoying each and every day. And then remember also, as all the fun disclosures go in this world, these opinions are just mine. They're not necessarily the opinions of Miles Wealth Management or any of my other associates of that company. Today is a huge treat, folks, for anybody who's listening, especially of the women's side of the world, on the entrepreneurial world. We have an amazing guest today who is going to give us, some major insights on the world of being an entrepreneur, especially on, she's been doing this quite a while, my assumption is, but we're going to get into it just here in a couple of seconds. And she's with what we call the Women's Entrepreneurial Development Center, located, I believe, in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Yeah, my office is in Poughkeepsie on Neptune Road.
Well, welcome, Cynthia Kroll. Cynthia Kroll Marsh, am I correct?
Marsh Kroll.
Okay. Well, that's a dyslexia kicking in right away there.
Don't worry about it. It's early. Want some more coffee?
Yeah, I could use some more coffee. So listen, welcome. And I don't know where really to start with this thing, but, you know, I was reading a little bit about your background here, and what you've done is pretty amazing. Yeah, but I would like to get our listeners, if you give us a little background on how you came to doing what you're doing today, it'd be great. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, you know, it's funny. I had a career at Computer Associates. I'm originally from Central Jersey, working for Computer Associates in the Client Education Department. And I had just gotten a promotion and everything and just got married.
Okay.
In September and found out I was going to be a mommy in April.
Bing, ding, hello.
Exactly. So I tried the whole balance thing, which is a bunch of malarkey, and said, okay, I have a choice to make, which a lot of women find themselves in, which is what's going to be priority, the kid or the career? And that's how we ended up in Orange County.
Oh, really? Okay.
Which was, you know, we were looking at where could we live on one income? And my daughter is going to be 19. So that was a long time ago. She was a year and a half old when we moved up.
I was going to say, because where could we live on one income? I'm not sure if Orange County
not
fits
anymore.
That bill anymore.
Not anymore. But when we moved up, it did. And I tried some. My goal was that I understood that I was a professional, that I knew I wanted to get back into the game later on. And everything that I did, I made sure increased my resume so that I was able to stay current and everything. So I did different jobs. Well, then she started school, and I had this issue with putting her into the after child care, and I tried that, and I had the exorcist. So I said, okay, this is not going to work. So what ended up happening was I was at a Super Bowl party. I'll never forget this. And I've done operations and organizing and everything. It's just the way I'm wired. I learned it from my mother. She was a VP of finance of a nonprofit without an accounting degree, all on experience.
So, which, you know, quite frankly, people don't give enough credit for.
Right. And my mother, you know, I learned all that from my mother. And I was talking to somebody. I said, you know, I want to be a professional organizer. And I went online in this fab job book for $40 with forms that there's this how to become a professional organizer. So I read the book and did what it said.
Now you're an expert.
So now I sit there and I did it. Well, I've been doing it for years. Right. It's just that now how do I do it as a business? So I started out with that. And it was because I needed something that would work with my child, but that I still could have income and still be able to do what I needed to do with her.
Interesting.
So I was able to find that balance.
Which is, everybody looks for.
Right. But it wasn't balanced in the sense that everybody thinks it's an evil even scale. No, I'm spending time over here on this now. Now I'm shifting to this. Now I'm shifting to this. And I actually had a discussion the other day with someone that's coming into our 60-hour program that I'll talk about later about, you know, she's got kids and how do I do this? And I gave her a couple tips. I said, the thing my daughter taught me about owning a business was how to walk away from the computer, carve out time, and then go back, and how to manage that time so that everybody got their needs met so they didn't sabotage me.
Good point.
If you don't have the support of your family, you cannot be successful.
That is a huge point. And thank you for our listeners out there. And I've said this time and time again. If you're going to make that leap of faith into being an entrepreneur and starting your own business, you need to make sure you have your team. And when I start with team, I mean your family first behind you.
Absolutely. And I was the queen of negative attention. So I didn't want to, perpetuate that. So I taught my daughter, because I'm getting engrossed, to give me signals of she needed attention, coming out and saying, attention, attention. Okay. So she would literally sit on my lap and be in front of my, like a cat would do, in front of a computer, right? And sit there and I'd say, you need attention. Let me stop. And then what I did was eventually I realized when she started school that when she first walked through the door, I had to be in the kitchen. I had to be away from my computer, finish what I was doing, be in the kitchen for when she came through the door. All I had to give her was about 30 minutes, and she didn't want to talk to me till dinner. Golden. See the kid for 30 minutes, give him the attention, find out about the day, and then back in my office.
It works. So she got her fix, and you did too, and then you go right back to doing
what I was doing. And she didn't feel left out. I had her help with stuff, right? And after a while, she's like, this is no fun, and then she wouldn't even bug me about helping. There we go.
It's a good trick right there, actually.
Yeah, so it was really making sure that I had the support I needed, but also recognizing that I had to support the people around me to get the support. So I got really good at and that's what I mean by balance. You have to shift. I tell people that whenever you're working in your own business, you have to make choices. You're either doing A or B, not and. A, I'm doing A, I can't be doing B.
Not splitting your focuses.
Right. And if you're going to be doing something, be focused on that. I think that I call it entrepreneurial ADD. What ends up happening is I think that a lot of people, I'm really good at focusing. And that was one of the things I would teach people when I was, you know, with my consulting business, besides operations and everything else. But you have to make a conscious decision. If you're working on X, you need to give it 100% of your attention. If you do not, you're not going to get the return on investment for your resources, time, and money. So you really want to make sure that you're doing that. The other thing that I found as an entrepreneur was to have a really clear set of goals and vision so that I could figure out how the heck to get there.
Okay. And you know, it's funny you say that. And those goals and visions, I would say, I wrote down my goals. I review my goals every day, not just write them down for a business plan and forget about them. And I recommend that for all my clients and I've worked with too. It's like, listen, if you really want something out of life, keep it fresh in your mind. Keep bringing, because they change each and every day, right? Like you change constantly. I won't say every day, but they do change.
Yes. And the other thing too, with having very clear goals, and I tell this too with people that I've worked at as a consultant and in my current position, is I tell people that having a clear goal and a clear strategy of where you're going gives you empowerment for making decisions. Back to the entrepreneurial ADD. So you get something comes into your field of vision. Will this help me get where I want to go? No, jettison that. Get rid of it.
Move on.
Right. Something else comes into your field of vision that you would not have thought about. Is it an opportunity or a waster? It's going to waste your time, money, and resources. Or is it an opportunity? It's an opportunity if it helps you get where you want to go. Now, I'm not saying be boxed into what your vision of how you're going to get there. You have to be open to something getting plopped in front of you. Because that's usually what happens.
Yeah, correct, right.
That's usually how it happens. Because you're open and you're on a certain trajectory, stuff's going to pop in. The question becomes, do you act on it or do you jettison it? And I tell people by having a clear understanding of where you're looking to go makes it much easier to make those decisions, and you're less prone to entrepreneurial ADD.
which I think I have to admit this, that I think I have entrepreneur ADD without question. And I think it's a huge point. And being pulled in too many directions, you don't accomplish anything.
Right.
Or being a master of everything, and actually not a master of everything, and you know, do a couple here and there, and that's it. You don't get it done. And you know, these are critical points. I want to actually go back to your thing, and I don't want to be lost here before we have to take a quick break, is that when you mentioned it, and I see this, I've experienced it in my own life, is that a lot of women that sacrifice, and I wouldn't call it sacrifice, go out of the workplace for to raise their family, take that. But what they didn't do is, what you did, it sounds like you did, was stay current with the world. So they went and took that time off and devoted all that time to their children, their family, as they should, without question. I'm not here to judge anybody. But when they make that decision to go back into the workplace, it's almost like that world just passed them by.
Well, you have to stay current. You with that. So, I like I said, I always picked jobs, part-time jobs that would help me. Criteria, right?
Right.
I would go, and this is how my brain works. That's why I was an operations consultant. All right. But anyway, I sit there and I go, all right, would this job help me keep my skill set so that I'm employable?
Instead of just giving me a tiny little paycheck. Great.
And I did a lot of different things that worked around my daughter, but all of them in some way or fashion could be added to my resume of the showing versatility, flexibility, and adoption of skills.
Perfect. With that, we're going to take a quick break. This is Jim Mazzetti. This is the American Dream. And my guest today is Cynthia Marsh Kroll. Talk to you back. We'll be back here in 1 minute.
If you're a small business owner, no one has to tell you that your business is one of the largest assets you possess. But have you ever taken the time to know what it's worth? Business valuation is not only critical for growing your company, but ultimately its eventual sale. At Miles Wealth Management, they can help you determine the value of your business through a simple yet comprehensive process that doesn't take months and costs thousands of dollars. For many years, Miles has provided you with insurance and financial services. Now they can help you ensure the growth and stability of your business for years to come. Call them today at 845-651-3070 for a free consultation, or visit them online at mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located on North Main Street in the Village of Florida. Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors Incorporated and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
This is attorney Bob Krahulik of the law firm Beatty & Krahulik, the lawyer guy on WTBQ Radio.
Tune in every Thursday at 12 noon for the latest in legal advice and tips.
We're taking calls and giving answers to all your legal questions and issues on WTBQ.
Hi, this is Lynn Allen Cione. I'm the president and CEO of the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. Join us every Friday at 12 noon when we will highlight Orange County Chamber's events and business right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to. WTBQ.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11. You can follow us. By the way, we're trying this brand new thing here in the last week and the week before. It's called Periscope, so take a look at it. Check it out. You can follow us live. We're all waving here, Cynthia and I, and whoever's listening or watching. It's kind of a cool new thing, and we're kind of talk about some of that marketing and new mediums coming up here in a little bit once we get to the next piece. And you can also follow me at Jim Mazzetti at Twitter, I guess. I don't know how these guys do. My marketing guy always tells me how to make this happen, but you can follow us at Twitter. And you also find us at mileswealthmanagement.com or mileswm.com. Cynthia, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. And I'd like to thank all my guests, as I know our lives are so busy doing each and everything in a million ways every day, trying to keep balance between our family and our businesses and making sure we put money in the bank so we can keep doing the fun things we do. So thank you for taking the time. We left off here, and Cindy was giving a little background and why she got started, what she's doing, or how she got started, and what she's doing, become an entrepreneur and a consultant. And with that, we're going to kind of roll into some things in addition to that. So give us a little... You kind of left off here going, you know, listen, you got to be, we're talking off air, actually, the fact you got to be all in. And that's the thing about being an entrepreneur. You know, there's, and we're going to talk about this in a second here, you know, it's not a hobby. If you're going to start a business, you're not just put your toe in the water. You got to jump in with both feet. Otherwise, you're just, it's a recipe for failure. And it's nice, I guess, if some have the wherewithal to go ahead and try this little hobby. But it can quickly become a disaster in many ways, not just honestly financially. And that's what we were talking about kind of before, the balance between having a family and the business and everything that goes along with it, trying to keep it all in check. And you gave us some good suggestions there on how to do that.
I think the other two, the hobby thing's an important point. I think it was... he's passed. He was one of my mentors. And if I remember correctly, it was Joe Hoffman that said this quote to me. And he said, a hobby costs you money and a business makes you money. So if your business is costing you money, it's not a business, it's a hobby. Make sure you know the difference. And I think that really, you know, for me, was a defining moment, because is this a hobby? Am I just playing at being a business owner, or am I really a business owner? And I think that, you know, the role I'm in now, and I also ran this program over at the Orange County Chamber for over 3 years, and now doing it for the Women's Enterprise Development Center, which is awesome, because these guys, that's all they do. They have so many programs and so many resources that was not available to me before. I'm very excited. But our whole thing is about teaching people about what's involved with getting into business, how to write a business plan so you know what the heck you're getting into and you don't end up in bankruptcy. You know, and you have an understanding of like all these concepts that most people, when they go into business, they're really good at what they do. I'm an implementation person by nature. I love taking chaos and making order and creating systems and procedures and all those wonderful things. Doesn't mean I was good at marketing. Doesn't mean I was good at sales.
Right.
Doesn't mean I know. And the other thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, they think, and this is common, so I'm not surprised. They think it's going to be less hours and more money. And it's the opposite, so it's
completely the opposite.
It's completely the opposite. And not understanding that they can't pull money out right away and that it's going to take a couple of years. And depending upon your overhead, you might have 3 years before you can start pulling a draw. And then understanding that they have to have skin in the game, that you have to do a personal guarantee of any loans that you do and your credit's involved and all these things that I think people in general don't realize is part of the puzzle. So that's why the business plan is so important. That's why getting help is so important, because before you're all in, before you take that plunge, you need to be really clear about what's involved. We've had people go through the program previously when I ran it over at the Orange County Chamber, and Wetzy, who's been doing this for many, 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 many years, I would tell people at the beginning, if you decide after this class not to go into business, that's a victory. Because you...
God, you're so right. You're so right.
It only costs you the price of the class to find out you shouldn't go into business.
That's a cheap investment right there.
Right. So, so for me, it's about empowering people to make the right decision, to understand what's involved, so that they can make an educated decision on whether or not to move forward or how to move forward. The other really cool thing about Wetzy is we offer all kinds of support after. So you've got business counseling. I have tons of workshops we put together, and there's ones down in our White Plains office, and we have a really robust workshops, webinars, one-on-one business counseling, working with resource partners to be able to get people the resources they need. Because my thing is, and I've always been like this, because strategic alliances were vital for my business.
Sure.
Was to have those same kinds of strategic alliances with my resource partners. So if I have a client come in, I've been doing a lot of building because I've only been in this position since July, with incubators, commercial kitchens, other nonprofits that help people in different areas so that I can roll them.
Interesting. Wow, what a trip. You know, is this, Wetzy, is it only for women?
No, we help everybody.
You do, okay.
But it is a women's business center with the SBA. We're a women's business center, but we do help everybody. My particular funding for the EA, it's called EAP, Entrepreneurial Assistance Program over in Poughkeepsie. I'm partially funded by Empire State Development.
Okay.
So we help everybody, but we are a women's business center. We have a lot of different programming that comes out of the White Plains office that is geared towards women and center. Because the one thing I found out, and I joked all the time, I said, I speak man. Is that...
Well, it is kind of a man... It was a man's world, right?
Yes, okay. Especially in the consulting I was doing, operations. Right. Everybody that's lean, Six Sigma and everything, there's not a lot of women. Supply chain, not a lot of women. So you better be able to speak man. And the thing that
I love it.
Interesting was women do business different than men. And to empower my women on how to adapt... To be able to use your power and your strengths, okay?
Correct, yep.
But to be able to adapt to who you're meeting with. I would give women the example. I would say, you all need to learn how to play golf. And they look at me. I said, listen, there's a guy going for a job, you know, for a contract, yep. And you're going for a contract. He gets them out on the golf course before you give your presentation. You just lost it. Learn how to play golf.
And isn't that reality?
That's reality.
This isn't just conceptual.
No,
this isn't just something in a book. This is reality.
That's reality. And right. I want my women entrepreneurs to be able to go toe-to-toe with any counterpart and be able to be successful. So one of the workshops we're having, I think that one's in March, is I wanted a sales and negotiation training. Because women, I have found in my own experience that men are better, and this is a sweeping generalization, so don't send him any bad emails.
I can see it coming out.
Our All right. sweeping generalization is that, in general, it's been my experience, and let me not get in trouble with my employer, it's been my experience that men are better at asking for the sale.
Okay.
All right. Now, that does not mean that women are not good salesmen. We are. We have a very different style. So I want to empower the women that might not have that as a strength and an area where they're a natural to be able to feel confident to do a sales call, to ask for the sale, to get that close.
That's huge. You know, I'm listening to this, I'm going, man, I wish you could train, you know, the world here, because these are huge pieces. I mean, and listen, contrary to what we're thinking, I've run into that many, many times in our business world too, is that, you know, it's one thing to be very good at what you do and very passionate at what you do, but if you don't ask for the business, you won't get the business.
Right.
But you have to be, there is a training involved. It's not necessarily natural for everybody.
No, and there's certain people that have the personality that can do that, and they're wonderful at it.
Right.
Doesn't mean they're good at other stuff. So everybody's got their thing that they're really good at, and a lot of the entrepreneurs I deal with are technicians, in that they're really good at whatever the function is, but they don't tend to be salesmen.
Right.
And I don't find salesmen tend to be technicians.
Without question.
Right. So it's a very different skill set. For me, for my own business, sales was, for me, the elephant in the room. It was the hardest thing for me to do, was sales. And the funny thing was, I could sell somebody else like nobody's business, but sell myself, I don't know what the problem was. I don't know what it was. But it's almost like it gets too personal at that point.
Yeah,
because you're selling yourself as a consultant. And that, for me, was one of the things I struggled with. So when I developed workshops, I looked at it from a point of view of, as a business owner, all these years, what did I need help with? I needed help with marketing, and then added on to that, got social media.
Right.
I've been in business coming up on 10 years. So marketing and social media.
Not your strengths.
Marketing has become my strength.
Okay.
Marketing has become my strength over the years. I've actually gotten pretty good at it. I did that ad that you got in front of you. Okay, so I've actually gotten really good at it, because if you're not good at marketing, you don't have anybody in your funnel. Either you learn marketing or you don't have a funnel.
Nobody to talk to. No
right,
business to get.
Nobody to close.
That's right.
All right, so the other thing was QuickBooks. A lot of people don't have any background in the bookkeeping piece, and if you don't do that right, you're in trouble.
Okay. Great.
And then the other thing was sales and sales and negotiation and getting help with that. So I made sure that that's going to be part of the core workshops that I'm going to be offering through our Mid-Hudson Center.
That's fantastic. Hey, Cynthia, you know, one of the things we do on this show is, and I didn't mention it this morning, but obviously somebody's been listening before, is we do take callers in from the air to ask our guests a question or two, and today we have one this morning, correct? Can you put them on through for me? Good morning.
Good morning. It's Lorraine from the Tuesday Roundtable. I just want to say that this show is fantastic, and I really appreciate that you have us, your guest today. But I do want to say something about sales. And the first rule of sales is ABC. Always be closing.
So true. And it's you know what, Lorraine, thank you for that, because it doesn't get any simpler than that. But, you know, a lot of us always that are in the sales world forget that.
And people feel funny asking for the sale, and you shouldn't, because everybody knows why you're there. So just ask for it. You know, there are people that are very good at leading up to the process, presenting the features and benefits of their product or service, and then they don't ask for the sale.
Yep.
And people are expecting that. If you're going through the whole presentation, at the end, you can just, even if you do a trial close and say, okay, how does this sound to you? You know, something along those lines. People should not feel funny about that at all. And I have a suspicion that it applies more to women than it does to men, because of the way we're socialized still, even in the 21st century.
What do you think about that, Cynthia?
I agree with you. And that's why the sales and negotiation workshop that we're doing is I think vitally important, because we are conditioned. I think that there's stigmatisms historically that if women were as I'd say driven, all right, as a male counterpart, you're labeled not so favorably. Where I think because of the social assumptions of how women should behave. I think that we've come a really long way. And I think, too, that it's a mistake for us to try to be men.
Correct.
Because we have a different set of skill set that has a lot of value. We have to figure out how to marry who we are as a being with effective sales techniques.
Absolutely. That you don't have to be exactly like a man, but you still ask for the clothes. You know, you do the clothes.
Exactly. And I think that women need to become more comfortable with doing the clothes. And I think that
it can be fun.
Yes.
Well, listen, I mean, let's put it this way. You're not there. Listen, when you're sitting in front of a customer, a prospective customer, you're not, you know, they know why you're there. There's a reason you showed up in the first place. Right. So at the end of the day, there's two things going to happen. One, it's not going to work out. Or two, you're actually going to get what you're there for in the first place, which is the business.
Absolutely. You'll have to excuse me because I'm hitting a bad cell area. Thank you so much for letting me come in the air and join the show. Take care.
Lorraine, take care.
Thanks
for joining us. And with that, we're going to have to take a quick break here. This is Jim Mazet with The American Dream. I'm here with Cynthia from Wetsea, which we're going to get down to that in a minute here. And we'll be right back after this message.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates. The Doctor's Inn with Middletown Medical every Thursday at 11 a.m. Tune in to hear their specialists discuss the latest techniques and innovative procedures right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Austin Dubois of Bluestein Shapiro, Rich and Barone. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for It's the Law. I'll be talking about how the law can help you. That's every Friday at 10 a.m. on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ weather.
Bitter cold temperatures, mainly around zero this morning, will rebound a bit this afternoon as the core of the cold air sweeps offshore. We'll see temperatures head in the 20s, though. It'll be very cold and windy. Tonight, clear and bitterly cold again, with a low around 5 or so. Tomorrow, with sunshine around and a southwest wind developing, we are going to see temperatures moderate into the mid-30s. Clear tomorrow night, not as cold, 15 to 20, and mostly sunny on Thursday, will cross into the lower 40s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti with the American Dream. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing the most courageous and best entrepreneurs of Orange County. And again, it's kind of a reminder, we're lucky enough to do this program each and every week because of the sponsorship of Miles Wealth Management, who gave me the backing to go out and do what I love to do, which is work with business owners, hopefully help inspire business owners to take that leap of faith, and give them, hopefully inspire and educate them along the way. And I'm not sure if I've done that, but I'm certainly giving it a good shot. Today, Cynthia has joined us here from, and I'm going to get this right, so it's called WEDSE, but it's the Women's Enterprise Development Center, which she's now been with the organization for a little bit here, and now heading up a bunch of new programs. Specifically, in her background, has been a business consultant. The most important role, I think, that she's expressed to me so far is she was a mom and still a mom. But you've given us a lot of great insight today, and I certainly appreciate it. And I want to continue with this theme of, we're talking a little bit off air, is that, working and giving people the skills, or enhancing, I think is a better word, enhancing the skills they already have so that they can be better business people, better negotiators, and just in general, just better contributors to our society.
I think the biggest thing, this is where, I really feel quite strongly, is that if you empower people to be able to create their own wealth, they're not only changing their own house, they are passing on skill sets to their children that will change their children's homes and their children's children's homes. You can stop a whole trajectory, for a family and do an interrupt and change that whole trajectory in a positive way. And the only way to do that is to tap into what somebody's already passionate about, something they're already good at, and give them the skill set they need and the training they need for the other areas so that they're able to tap into that. The other thing, too, that I find brand new entrepreneurs are so hungry for clients, they undercut themselves. They devalue their service. That's a big one.
Yes.
Free in many people's minds means it's not worth anything.
Zero value.
Right. And everything's about perceived value. So what kind of value? And I think that we have to empower people that want to be entrepreneurs so that they understand they do have value and that they understand that there's major things to have in their funnel to be able to have a successful business. Doing the marketing. What is marketing? How do I market? Who am I marketing to? We're not Nike. We don't have bottomless pits of money.
Right. There's no unlimited resources here.
Right. And then be able to close the sale once you get the person in the funnel, and then the QuickBooks stuff to manage the money after the fact. I get many people that come in and they're like, my statements, my profit and loss statement has that I made $100,000 a year, but I have $5 in the bank. How did that happen? And how do you help somebody understand what's going on so they don't get to that point? You don't want to do all that work and have $5 in the bank. I mean,
but it happens a lot.
It does.
It does happen a lot.
It does. And the other thing is, people think that a lot of these programs are for brand new businesses. That's not the case. We get people that are startups that need help with business planning, but then you get some of your early stagers that started and realize they need some help.
Right.
So we have those. And then we have existing businesses that have been around a long time that come to us for help in our various programs because something changed. Competitors changed.
Bidding came up with the times changed. Right.
Right. Something happened that caused a major shift, that either a market that they've been successful in is shrinking or been offshored.
True.
All right.
Lots of it.
Or that the pricing structure has changed dramatically. The right example of that is promotional products.
Yes.
Okay.
Good point. Yeah.
Okay. So
have you seen any of those lately?
They're right. So my thing is that, there's different things that happen that even existing businesses, and a lot of these that have been around 20, 30 years, didn't need a business plan when they hung up the shingle. And now, because of the intense competition, less money and more people fighting for it, and the internet, they now have a very different competitive field, and they have to go back and regroup and figure out what are they going to do next.
Yeah, and listen, that's a real deal. That's out there. It's here to stay. We talk to clients on a regular basis, and you're right. You put that point up. You know, things have changed dramatically. The old way of doing things doesn't mean it's the bad way of doing things. It just might necessarily apply to today's world. And I think as a business owner, you have to be, like you said before, we have to be open-minded and ready to accept change, because whether we like it or not, it's coming. And some of the things I would love to get into, because these are the things that happen all the time. So that we get into these things, I go off on a tangent. But I really would love to, if you could, what were the top seven things you think you would ask, for a potential owner, they have to take a look at?
So if you're saying if somebody was coming into my program,
yeah.
Okay. Well, first thing I'm going to find out is, do they have a business idea? Because some of them will have this. I'm thinking of this.
It's
not concrete yet. We want to see. Do you really have something that you can sink your teeth into as to what you're looking to do? One of the things I want to look at too is their background. I'll give you an example. I heard a story at one of our conferences, our yearly conferences, because there's multiple centers throughout New York State for various regions. And somebody was telling a story about they had a client come in. They wanted to open a dog grooming shop, and they hated dogs.
It looks like a good business plan and business model.
But I hate dogs. Okay. So do you have a background in what you're looking to do? That's the other thing, because one of the things you want to look at is, do you have the skill set? You're going to have so much of a learning curve running a business. You can't be learning the thing too
on the job.
Okay, you have to come out of the gate with experience in that area. Whether it's you get training or whatever the case may be, you want to make sure that you have some experience in that area, knowledge of that area. Like, say, for example, somebody working in the food industry or restaurant industry and then buying a restaurant. They've been a waiter. They've watched the staff. They had to do orders. They have an understanding what's involved with that.
Know your craft.
Right.
Know
okay. Okay. Then after you do that, then the next question I have is, okay, what does your financial resources look like? You're going to have skin in the game. Do you have savings? You're not going to be able to pull out. Do you have the investment, family, friends, whatever, or the capability to be banked to be able to move forward?
Is it a bankable deal is what you're referring to? Correct.
Okay. All right. Can you get financing to do this? Now, that doesn't mean you got to go to a bank. You know, the other thing is, then the next question is, okay, that's great. What is the not necessarily in this order, stream of thought here. Is the industry growing or shrinking? I use the example, are you going to sell fax machines? Okay, is the industry growing or shrinking? The other question you become, there's a curve with life cycles of things like soda's flat. You're just stealing from somebody else. Everybody's swapping every day customers. That's not a growing market. It's a shrinking market. And they've added all kinds of extra things in there now to take away from that market. So now it's shrinking.
Right.
It was flat for a long time. All right. So it wasn't a growth market. All right. It's a growth market. But are you coming in when there's not a lot of competitors? Or is everybody jumping in when you're jumping in? All right. So what's the competitive field look like? What does the industry look like? Do you have a geography? Do you have to physically be there somewhere to be able to perform your service? Can you have different mediums to perform your service? Can you offer things remotely? Do you have to physically be there? What is the geography, and are you locked into a geography? Then you're looking at, too, who's your target market? Is there enough people in that area to support that business? And the other thing is, when people do statistics, when they're looking at the target, they think they're going to get the whole market. No. Maybe 1%. All right? If you're lucky?
If you're lucky.
Okay. So, and then...
And is that enough to sustain you?
Exactly. And then, if that's the case, who's your competitors in the area? One of the biggest things I see with somebody come in is, they'll say, I have no competition. And I go, then you didn't do any research. Or you have to expand your definition of competition. Okay.
Good point.
All right. So anybody says they have no competition, there's a problem. I was just flipping through Shark Tank last night. Some guy said, I have no competition. And one of the sharks called him out on it. Really? He's sitting there. Really? I'm familiar with this industry, and you're incorrect. All right, so that
it was a very bold statement on his part.
Okay, yeah. So stuff like that. Yeah. And then, you know, developing a plan, doing the projections, feasibility, and then sustainability. You can get it off the ground, but can you keep it off the ground and can you grow it?
Right. And when what's the expansion look like? Is there scalability here?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, with having the ability to be able to ramp up. One of the things that I found as an operations consultant, it's one of the reasons I would get called in, is people would hit a ceiling because of their internal operations and couldn't expand. And they were at a pivot point. Either you're going to expand and keep going up the curve or you're going to go down.
Yep.
That's where they were at. And that's why I would end up getting called in. And when I, you know, work with my clients, getting them to understand that you want to set up your business for growth, and it has to be controlled growth, because you lose too much cash flow in operations where then you're short cash. And we deal with getting people Minority Women Business Enterprise certified. And this is a problem when they get involved with procurement.
Interesting. And you know, it's funny, you hit a good point, is be careful what you wish for. So growing too quickly without being ready for it can actually be a detriment, not an asset.
Right, because you end up using up too much of your cash flow and you're not able to pay your people, or you're not able to do this while you're waiting for the money to come in. And that's where you get people get into trouble with procurement. They want to make sure that they're set up for procurement, that they're ready to be able to do procurement. And that could be either getting bonding, line of credit, or whatever the case may be, so that when they go to do those projects, you know you're not going to get paid for 90, 120 days or whatever the case may be.
And you've got to be prepared for that.
You have operating capital that you can tap into so that you can keep running. It has been stories of existing businesses going out of business because they put all their eggs in one basket in government contracting, and then they extended the payments.
You read my mind, actually, because I've dealt with clients that had huge construction firms.
Yep.
And they had to put out millions.
Yep.
To do these things and then wait, hopefully, to get paid by the government.
Yep.
And it just didn't work out. Although they looked fantastic on paper, at the end of the day, you still got to pay your employees.
Yep.
And your vendors.
Yep, and you can't not.
No. It doesn't work that way, does it?
You can't.
Listen to that. With that said, we got to take another quick break here. We'll be right back with Cynthia from the Women's Enterprise Development Center. Thank you all for listening. We'll be right back after this moment.
If you're a small business owner, no one has to tell you that your business is one of the largest assets you possess. But have you ever taken the time to know what it's worth? Business valuation is not only critical for growing your company, but ultimately its eventual sale. At Miles Wealth Management, they can help you determine the value of your business through a simple yet comprehensive process that doesn't take months and cost thousands of dollars. For many years, Miles has provided you with insurance and financial services. Now they can help you ensure the growth and stability of your business for years to come. Call them today at 845-651-3070 for a free consultation, or visit them online at mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located on North Main Street in the Village of Florida. Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors Incorporated and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is Marina Case of the Red Shutters in Warwick, New York. Tune in every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. for The Style Show, a show about decorating, fashion, and fun on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
Hi, this is Jeff Berkman, Orange County Legislator. Please join me every Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the WTBQ Roundtable. We'll be discussing the issues that concern you, exclusively on WTBQ.
WTBQ.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti, and this is The American Dream. Reminder, we're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, interviewing entrepreneurs of Orange County specifically. Today's guest is Cynthia Marsh Kroll from the Women's Enterprise Development Center Project. She's the director, actually, by the way, of the Mid-Hudson Center. And what a great guest today. I think anybody's been able to listen to this program and or see us on Periscope or tweet us later. You got a ton of information here that, quite frankly, I know personally that I have spent thousands and thousands of dollars to get just a tidbit of what you spoke about today. And with that said, this information is out there if you go look for it. And I think if you're going to start a business, or even if you're today you're in business and you're kind of getting you're getting a little squirrely, like, if I'm going to make it, how am I going to make it? Is there anything I could do business better? You need to reach out and take advantage of these resources that, Cynthia, you're bringing to the plate today. And I've heard of, there's a bunch of resources out there, folks. You just got to be willing, and I mean willing, to open your mind and go, yeah, you know what? I got to get some help. Or, I need more information. Because knowledge is key, right? Without knowledge, we got nothing. An idea is just an idea unless you figure out how to put it into practice.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
And will it make sense and once I actually
right. do this? Exactly. Right? I tell people when we start our 60-hour class, I said, this is all about feasibility. It's all about feasibility and sustainability.
I think reality should be probably one of those words, too.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, is this really feasible? Is this going to work? And if it is, for how long? You know, and I think that's important that people figure that out. That's one thing that WETC has that I really love, and I'm going to be doing one tonight over in I'm going to be doing these Path to Entrepreneurship programs, and what it is it's like 2.5 hours.
And where is this, by the way?
We hold them all over the place. I have one coming up, and At the Thrall Public Library on January 27th.
Okay.
All right. And what that is it kind of gives you a idea of what's involved. Now, that's not the full-blown developing a business plan. This is my idea kicker, right, okay, that I was talking about that kind of knows they want to explore this. This is something they're thinking about doing before you quit your job, before you tap into your retirement, before you tell your boss to go get lost. What you need to do is go to my Path to Entrepreneurship program. We have, okay. And what it is it kind of gives a person an idea. It's almost like a reality check,
okay,
of what I was talking about earlier, that no, it's not less time and more money. Let me let you know what you're thinking about getting into. And I encourage people that are still kicking an idea tire kicker to go check that out. Then the other thing that once they've gone through that and they want to keep moving forward is I want to put them in my 60-hour program. Now, that's the A to Z's of running a business. You are going through, and that's going to be Tuesdays and Thursday evenings starting February 2nd over at SUNY Newburgh.
Okay, this is the Newburgh campus.
The Newburgh campus, okay. SUNY Orange over in Newburgh. And what it's going to do is it's going to really walk the person through every single component of running a business, and they're going to develop a business plan. Our instructor...
That's an amazing resource, by the way.
Yeah, and our instructor's amazing. She's a certified business coach and a coach. And then we also have standalones. Like we have one on January 16th, how to create the most profitable marketing plan for your business. That's going to be at Touches Community College. You know, in February, I've got how to become more profitable using QuickBooks. And in March, you want some serious profitability. And for those who look to sell to the government, I got a webinar. Are you ready to sell to the government on January 14th? So what do you need? I got it.
Maybe part of that question is, should I sell to the government?
Yeah, right. Well, we did that in earlier workshops on Minority Women Business Enterprise Certification. So I do different components. Those, okay, I did in person, both of those. And I work with resource partners on that. I have I work with Lynn Cimetti from PTAC and Vanessa Primus, who's a procurement specialist from SBDC, to help me with these different things. Just like these topic workshops that are 9 to 4. They're all dayers. They're no
wow.
joke. On a Saturday. I have people working with me that are experts in that area to be able to give the information to the people coming so they can go home and do it. So if you're an early stage business or been in business a long time and you're struggling with marketing, come get some help. If you need some help with sales and negotiation, come to you want some serious profitability. If you want to be able to submit the right information to your accountant for taxes, come to How to Become More Profitable Using QuickBooks.
You've got it all. You got it all.
Yeah. So and we do one-on-one business counseling. We help people find resources for financing.
And give us an answer. I mean, if you give our listeners some, what's the cost for something like this?
It depends. Our counseling is free. Our one-on-one counseling is free. Help with Minority Women Business Enterprise Certification is free. Our PAT to entrepreneurships, our webinars, those types of things are free. Our 60-hour is only $200. That's nothing. And then my all-dayers, because I am paying an expert to show up on a Saturday, is $49.95. And again...
Oh, my God, really?
Yes. That's hundreds of dollars if they were doing it. Okay? And the other thing with this is you need to have some skin in the game. I'm a firm believer.
I agree.
You need skin in the game. You need to have an understanding that about running a business, you have to put in time, money, resources to make it successful. So we need to start off that way.
Without question. If you're not learning, you're not earning. You know, those little tidbits we say all the time. But what an amazing resource. And I tell you, there should be more college courses, quite frankly, just like this, if for business owners. I mean, you know, people going through business school and so on and so forth, besides just accounting classes. But the real practicality that you're talking about today, I mean, has a real impact on what, you know, the entrepreneurs or future entrepreneurs really have to tackle.
And that's the differentiator, I think, between us and a college course, is that our stuff is designed around implementation. It's designed around being able to take what you learned and implement it, and having the resources, me and my resource partners, to be able to give you that individual counseling that you need to keep moving forward. So, and that's a key component. A lot of people go to stuff, gets thrown on the shelf, they don't do nothing with it because there's no accountability attached to it.
That's true.
But if you know you have a resource that you can go to afterwards to ask questions, and that's why those continuing things, not only for existing businesses, but for my graduates to keep moving forward. You did the plan. Now let's work on this area and go implement it.
And constantly tweak it.
Yes.
And keep constantly learning what's going on. For it. I think the other thing that kind of jumps off the page for me is that different between a college course and this, what you're talking about here, is this has real meaning to the person who's taking the course, because they have an idea or they're in business today.
Yes.
So it really means something to them because like, oh, this is how it applies to me. Right?
Exactly.
A big difference between theoretical stuff when you learn in college as opposed to this is the real deal. This is how it impacts me each and every day and my family and so on.
Exactly. And doing those projections and doing all of that so that you have an understanding of what the heck is going to happen.
And be, you know, to that point, you know, one of the things and this has happened to me personally, is be honest with yourself when you're doing these projections.
Right.
You know, you're putting all these fantastic numbers on, I can do this and I'll get this market share. But the fact of the matter is, okay, are you really?
No, you're not.
No.
You're not.
And if you don't, what do you do?
Right. What's your plan B? And the other thing that I hammer in when I talk to
people. There's never a plan B, by the way.
You can tell me my course there is. The other thing, too, is, you know, I tell people, no bank wants to see a hockey stick. You cannot say that you're going to have hockey stick projections. It's not reality. It's not true. And to be real with yourself and real with what you have to offer and what really is out there. And, you know, it's okay to say, this is not for me.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. And I think that, you know, We you know, I tell people, I said, your business is your baby. Everybody thinks their baby's beautiful. Everybody loves their baby.
So true. Nobody wants to tell them they have an ugly baby.
Yeah, but I tell them, I'm here to tell you, baby's got an ugly nose. All right. You know, or ugly
needs a
ears.
Nose job. All right.
Right. Ugly ears. So the thing is you know, you want people to be realistic, because if you set up unrealistic expectations, you can expect to have financial problems and be seriously disappointed.
I believe that. That's true. At the same token, I think that some of the mistakes that a lot of entrepreneurs make when they're actually in the business, they set their goals too low.
Yes.
Too low. And then when they set them, once they get them, they're going, oh, now what? They get deflated.
Right.
So there's a fine line between realistic and being too optimistic.
Well, right. You want to find something that, again, it goes back to feasibility.
Yep.
Is this feasible? The other thing, too, is, and I've worked with clients that they're looking at a whole vision.
Yep.
And
1 second. I don't want to cut you off, but because I'm going to have to have you back for like another day.
Oh,
like
we're 10 done?
Hours. No,
okay.
We're not done yet. But what, real quickly, how can people utilize your sources and how to find you?
Okay. So if they want to see what our programs that we have going on, our website is www.wedcbiz.org. That's WEDCBIZ.org. And my phone number is 845-363-6432.
God, Cynthia, thank you so much. Cynthia Marsh Kroll from Women's Enterprise Development Center and Project and the director of the Mid-Hudson Center. This is Jim Mazzetti with the American Dream. Remember, here every Tuesday from 10 to 11, be profitable. Remember, it is your responsibility, your obligation, and your duty to be successful. Take care.